You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Them's fighting words. Martial borrowings in the English language. Anyone who knows me knows that I love language. I am a word nerd. I'm fascinated by the human capability of language, how languages evolve over time and split into other languages, not unlike the evolution of species of biological organisms. If you don't feel the same way, you might find this episode of The Martial Brain even more tedious to listen to than normal. Feel free to stop listening here. The English language is an especially fascinating one, by far the largest language in the world in terms of the number of words in its vocabulary. A particular type of study of any language is etymology, or the study of the origins of words. What I want to talk about today is the many words and phrases in the English language that are drawn from physical combat and the martial arts. Wrestling has given us a few terms. When faced with a problem, we are sometimes said to be grappling with it. The phrase coming to grips with a problem comes directly from the beginning of a wrestling match, where you and your opponent each attempt to gain advantage through the best grip on the adversary. When you are unpleasantly surprised by an event for which you hadn't planned, you are sometimes said to be thrown by the event. A surprisingly rich source of common English terms is the art and sport of fencing, and its bloody cousin, dueling. When you're being warned of danger, you are sometimes told to be on your guard. When someone makes a very good point when engaged in good-natured debate with you, do you ever acknowledge their point by saying, touché? That comes directly from fencing. Touché means touch in French, the international language of fencing, and is said out loud to acknowledge that your opponent has scored a point or touch on you in a fencing bout. It's used less nowadays, but back in the days before electrical scoring, it was part of the honor system in scoring fencing bouts. Each of the three weapons used in fencing, the foil, épée, and saber, is made up of a number of parts. The blade of each has a strong, inflexible half near the grip, and a weaker, more flexible half near the tip. The strong half of the blade is called the forte, spelled F-O-R-T-E. It means strong, and refers to the fact that the near half of the blade is the strong half. Nowadays, most of us mispronounce this word by saying forte, as in, boring listeners with podcasts about word origins is my forte. This pronunciation is used in music, where it is the correct pronunciation and it means to play loudly. But that is not the source for the word we mispronounce, forte. Instead, it's from fencing. As a matter of fact, we also draw the opposite word from fencing when we say something like, correcting people's grammar is a foible of mine. The word foible means weakness, often a petty weakness, and is also the name of the other half of the fencing blade from the forte, the flexible, whippy, weaker half, nearer the tip. When you use the forte of your blade to deflect the opponent's blade, this is referred to as a parry. We sometimes use this in everyday language. For example, you might say, his voice carried sufficient authority to parry any objections that the woman offered. After parrying your opponent's weapon, a common follow-up is to attack immediately. When attacking at this particular time, the attack is referred to as a riposte. This word is also sometimes used in English to describe elements of debate, as in, his riposte to her assertion was to point out a fallacy in her logic. We also use words and phrases from medieval combat and dueling. For example, when we say something like, I backed him to the hilt, the phrase to the hilt means as far as possible. Not to be overly graphic, but when you use a blade for stabbing, and stab as far into the body of your opponent as possible, it stops at the hilt. On a less unpleasant note, when one person scores the first point, whether in argument, gameplay, or whatever form of struggle, he or she is sometimes said to have drawn first blood. This expression is drawn from dueling. Someone with a particularly biting sense of humor is sometimes said to have a rapier wit. A commonly used phrase in English comes directly from French. It is coup de grâce, which means strike of mercy, or strike of grace. This was the swift, merciful killing stroke you would administer to a dying opponent or ally in the days before medical science gave them a chance of survival. I include this phrase because most Americans mispronounce it as coup de grâce, which actually means strike of fat or strike of oil, as in pâté de foie gras or pâté of goose fat. By far the form of combat with the greatest influence on English is boxing. Probably the oldest relevant expression is to, quote, toe the line, unquote. This phrase is usually used as an admonition to someone to behave correctly, as in, you'd better toe the line, young man. While the earliest origin of this expression is disputed, it was used in early forms of boxing, when fighters began the fight by each standing with the toe of their front foot behind a line scratched in the dirt, thus toeing the line. A curious old expression is used when a fighter is dazed but still on his feet. Such a fighter is said to be, quote, on Queer Street, unquote. The fact that this phrase was used unironically shows you how old it is, dating back to a time when it wouldn't have been taken to have more than one meaning. When you want to say that someone is on your side, you may express it by saying that he is in my corner. We sometimes describe someone who is out of commission as being down for the count, or knocked to the canvas. When someone is rescued from an unkind fate at the last moment, we sometimes say he was saved by the bell. When people are engaged in informal debate, we might say they are verbally sparring. Someone who is badly defeated has been KO'd after the initials for knocked out, or we might even say he had been TKO'd after the initials for technical knockout. Someone who is in serious trouble can be said to be on the ropes. When you handle stress well, you are sometimes said to roll with the punches. When you are ready to give up, you feel like throwing in the towel. When the activity that you are currently engaged in is of utmost importance, it is sometimes referred to as the main event. A term for illegal or uncouth behavior from boxing is low blow. The term rabbit punch, meaning an illegal strike to the back of the head, comes from the technique that trappers used to humanely dispatch rabbits caught in a trap. When an adversary pulls a sneaky move on you, you can be said to have been sucker punched. When you're trying to avoid trouble, it might be said that you are bobbing and weaving. Someone who can't take punishment can be said to have a glass jaw. By the way, the phrase glass jaw, as used in boxing, is actually a misnomer. One who is easily knocked out is far more likely to have a weak neck than a fragile jaw. When engaged in an all-out struggle with an adversary, you could be said to be going toe-to-toe. Someone who feigns defeat without truly being defeated is said to have taken a dive. Someone who tries to give you everything they have all at once is said to be delivering a Sunday punch or a haymaker. When you are struggling in a situation with poor resources at your disposal, you are sometimes advised to stick and move. When you survive a long struggle with a formidable opponent, you are said to have gone the distance. When you are ideally positioned to observe events, you are sometimes said to be ringside. When close associates are engaged in struggle, they are said to be engaged in infighting. When your actions have caused serious problems for an adversary, you could be said to have dealt him a body blow. When you induce an opponent to foolishly waste his efforts, you could be said to be employing rope-a-dope tactics. There are few to no commonly used borrowings in modern English from the Asian martial arts, I'm sure that over time this will change. One very tenuous connection that I can share with you is the term kowtow, in English spelled K-O-W-T-O-W. We use it to mean to suck up to someone or to cater to their every whim, as in, I will not kowtow to you. The actual origin of this term is as the formal description of how one was meant to pay homage to the Chinese emperor. One kowtowed to the emperor by kneeling, bending forward at the waist, and touching one's head to the floor or the ground. I later learned from my Junfan Gung Fu training that the term Bruce Lee used in Cantonese for a headbutt was kowtow. In this case, spelled K-A-O, second word, T-A-O. It means to strike with your head. It makes sense when you think of it. When you kowtowed to the emperor, you struck the floor with your head. Words and phrases are cultural memes that are passed down through the generations to us from our ancestors. Sometimes the word stays the same and the meaning changes. Sometimes the meaning stays the same and the word morphs somewhat, but can still be traced back to its ancestor. In any case, I have always found this process to be interesting. Whenever I learn the origin of a word, I'm nearly always surprised as to its source. I hope I had a few surprises for you with this podcast today. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.